Aaron Armstrong is a brilliant, complex, fascinating historian based in London. Her enormously popular public lectures earned her the TED Prize, which she devoted to establishing the Charter for Compassion. It commits leaders across religious and national boundaries to working for peace. Her best-selling books examine the shared values and circuitous histories of Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, and other traditions. And Karen Armstrong's memoir, The Spiral Staircase, My Climb Out of Darkness, traces her own spiritual journey.
I lived for 7 years as a nun, but I could not pray. I was completely unable to pray. Probably the kind of meditation we all had to do wasn't suitable for me. But for seven, I just could not. I can concentrate on my work for hours at a time, but I could not make an hour's meditation. The heavens seemed closed, rather. And when I left the convent, God slipped very easily away. And I hated religion for a while. I had found the whole way it was presented to me unkind. I was a very wrecked human being when I left my convent. And I wanted nothing to do with religion. If I saw someone on a train reading a book about religion, I thought, oh, I felt an instinctive revulsion, never imagining for one moment that I would be the author of such a work.
But in fact, Karen Armstrong has gone on to write best-selling works of comparative religion, including her sweeping book, A History of God, The 4,000-Year Quest of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. She's also chronicled the life of the Buddha. Diving deeply into these traditions led Karen away from the rigidity of her life in the convent and toward a more liberal and mystical faith.
I came back to it when I went to Israel for the first time and there encountered Judaism and Islam for the first time. There were aspects of those faiths that helped me to see what my own faith had been really trying to do at its best.
Which was?
The fact that we can never know God. All of them say that. Allahu Akbar, God is always greater than we can conceive. And that we must not create idols. An idol is not just a statue before whom you bow. A human idea or a doctrine of God can be an idol. A mere projection of ourselves writ large. But other things too. They say to get God, to understand what God is, you have to put the self to one side. And early in my studies, my early books were really quite Dawkins-esque and hostile to religion.
The famous atheist.
Yes. But I encountered a footnote in a major three-volume work on Islam, which said that the historian of religion must approach the spiritualities of the past with what he called the science of compassion, which doesn't mean that you feel pity, but that in a scholarly way, when you're studying a spirituality, a medieval spirituality, say, that looks utterly bizarre, he said, you don't judge it from the standpoint of post-Enlightenment rationalism. You must, in a scholarly way, recreate the circumstances in which that spirituality developed. You must see what was going on politically, economically, intellectually, what suffering was going on, and not leave it until you can imagine yourself, he said, in some sense, feeling the same. That's what compassion is, to feel with the other. In that way, he said, you will broaden your horizons and make a place for the other in your mind and heart. And that meant that I had to put clever, over-opinionated, over-educated Karen to one side at my desk every day and enter into the mind of a man like the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who lived in the hell of 7th century Arabia and sincerely believed he'd been touched by God, whatever that meant. And unless I could do that, I would not miss the essence of who he was, of who the prophet was. And that rubbed off of my daily life too.
How does that manifest?
Well, when I went out with friends, I noticed how people were constantly judging things from the point of view of post-Enlightenment rationalism or from an egotistic point of view. I think.